Shalom to all. Today's office moment is Daf Samaches. So we're starting about the fourth line with the words Amar Avashi. And today's office sponsor Leilu Nishmas Mars Mirim Sarabas Yaakov Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. And Leilu Nishmas Mars Rivka Basav Meir Zev Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. And we continue talking about Mashkanta. Reuven lent Shimon money. Shimon gave Reuven a field to have as a mashkain, as a collateral. And while Reuven has the field, he's allowed to benefit from the payros. And yesterday we discussed extensively how this is possible without an issue of ribbis. And now the Gemara tells us Amar Avashi Rashi says Amar Li Sabi Masa Machasya. The elders of Masa Machasya told me, stam mashkanta shasa, a stam mashkain, when a field is given to the lender to use, the standard amount is a year. What does make a difference to the Gemara? The answer is, the achala shasa matzi misalklei, that if the lender was there for a year and he benefited from those fruits, so then if the borrower comes up with the money, he could send the lender out. But if he wasn't there for a year yet, le matzi misalklei, the borrower is not allowed to send the lender out of the field, even if he comes up with the funds. Amar Vashi continues saying, Amar li sabin masa machasya, the elders of masa machasya told me, my mashkanta, what's the understanding of the word mashkanta? The shchuna got Bay, it's considered dwelling by him, meaning the borrower's field is now dwelling or living or it's with the lender. What does make a difference? Why do we have to explain mashkanta like this? The answer is Ladina Bar Metzra, for this din of Bar Metzra. What is Bar Metzra? So let's say we have two people, Beryl and Shmerel, living next to each other, and Beryl decides to sell his house or his field. Shmerel has Dina Bar Metzra. He's the one on the Meitzar, on the border, and he has first rights to buy the field. And it's the same thing over here. If the borrower decides to sell this field, who's the Bar Metzra? Who has the first rights to buy it? The lender. Because it's shchuna gabe, it's dwelling by him, so he's considered bar metzra. Now, Amar Rava tells us, les halchsa loike tarshi papunai, v'loike shtar mchuznai, v'loike chakirin arshai. The halacha is not like any of these three things. Now we explain them. Ketarshi papunai, what exactly is this? Ketarshi de Rapapa. This is like the tarshi Rapapa. We had this a few daf ago. Rapapa used to give beer to people who wanted it now. On credit, they were allowed to pay him later. However, they had to pay him the higher price of later on. When we learned this on Daf Samach Hey, we had explained Rav Papa's reasoning for why he thought it wasn't ribbis. However, now we're saying that it's usser. Continuing on, shtar mechuznai, what exactly is this? Shtaris that were written in mechayza, dezakvile the ravcha karna, they would take the revach, the profit, and add it on to the karen, to the principal or the capital, and treat it as a loan. That's what zakvile means. It's a loan. Vekasvile b'shtara, and they would write that in the shtar. Before we continue, let's pause and explain this. In mechayza, when we had a partnership, one invested with the capital and the other person who was actually doing the business deal, and the profits would be split 50-50, so they would estimate how much the profit would be and write it in a shtar along with the keren, the capital invested. So let's say the merchant was given $100 of wine to sell and the estimated profits were $20, making the investor's share $10. A shtar was written that the merchant owes the investor $110. Now, if there was more than $20 gained, the merchant gets to keep that extra amount for himself and doesn't have to give a fair share of that to the investor. On the other hand, if there was less than a $20 profit, he still has to give a full $10 to the investor. And the reason why this is a problem, continues the Gemara, because mi yema dehava ravcha, who says there's going to be gain? As we had just said, if the gain is less than $20, a full $10 still needs to be given to the investor, and technically there's ribbis here, because the investor is going to be receiving 10, and that means he's getting back more than he gave to the fellow who's doing this business deal. Now in Mechayza, they view this as the investor buying a set amount of profit off of the merchant, and not as a loan. But the reason why Rav is saying it's usser is because we view it as a loan. However, Amalei Marbar Memer Ravashi, Marbar Amemar told Ravashi, Abba, my father Amemar, Avid Hachi, he would do this. When the merchants would come to him saying that the deal didn't gain as much as they thought it would, in our example, they're telling Amemar that there wasn't $20 of profit, there was less than that. So Mehemelahu, he would believe them and he wouldn't take a full $10 of profit, even though that's what's written in the shtar, he would take less. And therefore, there's no ribbis, and that's why it's not a problem. So Ravashi told Marbar Amemar, Tenach Hechadis Lodidei, that's great if he's here. Meaning, if the original one, Amemar, your father, is here, so he'll trust the merchants to tell him that there wasn't $20 of profit and he'll take less than his $10. But Ishachiv, let's say he dies, V'nafal shtar kamiyasmi, and the shtar no falls to Yusaimim, my, what's the din over there? Yusaimim won't necessarily trust the merchants to say that less than $20 of profit was gained, and they're going to demand their full $10 as what was written in the shtar, and as we explained, that's ribbis. Now, because of Ravashi's response to Marbar Meimar, Hava Kishkaga Shirtzel Mufnei Ashalit, it was like this pasuk, which means something that slipped from the ruler's mouth, V'noch Nafshe Da Meimar, and Ameimar, who's Mar's father, he died. We know that the words of Tamid Chum Tzadikim have a very strong power, and even though Ravashi wasn't saying that Ameimar should die, he was just suggesting, let's say Ameimar does die, what would you say then? That's what ended up happening, Ameimar passed away. And lastly, we explained Chakir Narshai, what exactly is the deal from Narash, the Kosvi Hachi, they would write the following in Ashtar, Mashkan Le Polanya, Ari Laplanya, that so-and-so gave his field to this other guy as a mashkain because of a loan that was given to him, v'hadar chachra minei, and then he leased it back from him. Let's pause and explain. This is a classic case of mashkata. Shimon borrowed money from Reuven and gave him a field as a mashkain, and as we learned, Reuven is allowed to use this field because there's nechiaisa. Some of the debt is reduced every year that he has it. However, Narush, what would happen? Reuven would lease the field to Shimon. That's what we just read, the chachra minei, he would now lease it from him. Shimon would lease the field that he just gave to Reuven. And that turns out that both Shimon and Reuven are benefiting from the payrise. And this is like Rebbe's, because the field never really went to Reuven's Roshos. It remained by Shimon. And now Shimon's giving Reuven a portion of the profits, which are basically Rebbe's for the loan that he was granted. And that's why it's Usser. As we further explain, Emas Kana Dakhnei Niyale. When is it that Reuven was kind of the field that he now is makna the field back to Shimon? Reuven was never cut of the field. It basically remained by Shimon the entire time, and that's why it's Rebbe's. However, Va'idno, nowadays, says the Gemara, the Kakasvi Hachi, that we write the following in the Shtar, Kanina Mine, I acquired the field from him. That's what Reuven is writing. I acquired the field from Shimon, Vishahina Kama Idni, and it remained by me for a while, Vahadr Chachra, and afterwards it was leased to him. And so in this situation, this deal is okay because Reuven acquired the field first, and then he gave it back to Shimon, taking away the appearance of Rebbe's, because now it just seems like a new business deal. And why is this okay? Kadesh Laitino tells Bifnei Levin Shapir Dami, this is fine because we don't want to close the door in front of borrowers. The Chum realized that if it wasn't allowed in this situation, people just simply wouldn't lend money because what are they going to do? Get a field in exchange? But they don't want that field. They want to lease it to somebody else. And the best person to lease it to is the person whom they just received it from. And therefore, in order not to lock the door in front of lenders, the Chum allowed this to happen. However, now the Gemara retracts and says, Velav Milsahi, this is really not so. And as much as this sounds good, that it's not a Ribbis issue, it is a Ribbis issue. As we explained previously, it just looks like Shimon is keeping his field and paying Reuven more money because of the loan that he had given him previously. And now we're on to another Mishnah. But before we start, let's see the common denominator which runs through all these cases. This is a business deal in which we have two partners, an investor with capital, either money or merchandise, and the guy who does all the legwork, he's called the managing partner. Now the profits and losses are split 50-50. So let's say partner two, whose name of course is Shimon, is given $100 and he grows it to $120. That means the profits are $20. So at the end of the day, the investor is going to receive his capital of $100 back along with $10 in profit. Now, if Shimon's work goes sour and they're left with only $80, which means that there's a loss of $20, that's also split. Shimon gives Reuven $90, resulting in a loss of $10 for Reuven the investor and $10 for Shimon. Now, if we review this arrangement with different glasses, it turns out that half of the capital is loaned to Shimon, because again, Shimon takes responsibility for half of it. So in essence, it's on loan to Shimon. Now, that's where the Ribbis issue is. Shimon is working for both of them, Reuven and himself, because as we just said, half of the capital is Reuven's, the other half is considered a loan to Shimon. And when there's profit, half is given to Reuven because his half of the capital gained. The problem is that Shimon never got paid for his legwork on Reuven's behalf. He did this all for free. Turns out that Shimon provided a service for Reuven pro bono because he was loaned half the capital. And that's classic Ribbis. And now we begin the Mishnah, and we're going to see multiple scenarios of this very same case. One is not allowed to install a storekeeper for half profits, and he's not allowed to give him money for half profits. This is two of basically the same case. The investor is not allowed to give a storekeeper produce to be sold at retail, and the deal is that they're going to split the profits 50-50, and he's not going to give him money to buy produce, and again, the profits are going to be split 50-50, because again, as we explained, since the losses are being split 50-50 as well, we're going to have Ribbis issues here. The only time this would be permitted, says the Mishnah, Elim Kane, Nisan Leischari Kapayel. That's only if Shimon, the storekeeper, the guy who's doing all the legwork, the managing partner, is paid like a pile, and since he's getting paid for his work on behalf of Reuven, the investor, there's no Ribbis issues. Similarly, Ein Mashim Tarnagon L'Mechza, one's not allowed to put hens to sit on eggs for half profits and losses. This is where Reuven provides the eggs and Shimon provides the chicken. And again, Shimon, who's the managing partner, he's the guy doing the legwork. He's going to be raising the hatchlings. He also takes responsibility for 50% of the losses, if indeed there are losses. And again, that causes a Ribbis issue. The scenario of this, we're not allowed to evaluate calves or colts for half profits. Calves and colts are young cows and horses. It just sounds nice by saying calves and colts. Kind of has a good ring to it. And again, this is the same thing. We have Shimon. He's a herdsman. He takes care of animals. Reuven gives him calves or colts to raise. And when they become older, worth more money, the profits are split 50-50. But again, Shimon is taking responsibility for half of the losses, if there are losses, and that would cause a Ribbis issue. And the only way this is permitted is LMK Nuslan Schara Malim Zainai. If Reuven pays Shimon for his hard work and for the mazain for the animal food, he could accept calves or colts for half profit. That's if he's not taking responsibility for the losses. And lastly, the Mishnah tells us a totally different halacha that just has to do with how much this herdsman, Shimon, has to raise the animals. He has to raise them until they reach a third of their growth, v'chamar, and if we're talking about a donkey, he has to raise it until it's able to carry a load. And now the Gemara explains the first part of the Mishnah. We had said that this chenveni, the storekeeper who got involved in this business deal, is only allowed to do so if he's also getting paid like a payal. Gemara explains, Tana, we have a brisa, kapayal batal, he gets paid like a payal batal. The Gemara asks, my kapayal batal, what does that mean he gets paid like a payal batal? This seems to be he's getting paid how much a person would be willing to take just to sit and do nothing, a payal batal. But this guy's not sitting and doing nothing. He's a storekeeper. He's taking the produce from Lachsan and bringing it to the store, and he's weighing it out for people and sitting there all day taking care of everything. So what does that mean? He's being paid like a payal batal. He's doing a lot of work. The answer is, we pay him how much a person would be willing to take to not do his job that he usually does and do something easier. Let's say a person has a really hard job. How much would that person be willing to take to do a much easier job, even though he'd be making less money? And that amount is how much the storekeeper Shimon needs to be paid. He's not being paid full wages, but he's being paid something. And Tzricha, we have to have both these cases in the Mishnah, meaning we have to mention that the storekeeper Shimon was given actual produce or merchandise, and we also have to mention the case where he was given money to buy the merchandise. If we only mention the case of the storekeeper who received merchandise from the investor, we might say the chenveni who decided like a pile of bottle, that it's enough to pay him like a pile of bottle, this reduced amount, mishum d'lo nafish terche. That's because he's not doing so much work. But if all that he received was money and he had to go buy the pay rice and then sell them, then nafish terche, that's a lot of work. I might say that it's not enough to pay him like a pile of bottle, and he would have to be paid more than that in order for there not to be a ribbis issue. If we only said the second case of Mishnah, that he was given money to buy pay rice and then sell them, Havamina would say, Hasam Huda Bai Kapayal Batal, over there, he needs to be paid like a pile of bottle, which is a decent amount of money, Mishim Denafish Tirche, because he's doing a significant amount of work. Avachanvini, but if he's a storekeeper sitting there and being handed the merchandise and all he has to do is sell it, Dulay Nafish Tirche, that's not a lot of work. Emasagile Bamashu Ba'alma. I might say that it's enough for the investor to pay him just a tiny little bit. Da'afil Loy Taval Imay El Abitsir. Even if all he did was dip his bread into some brine with him. Vlayachal Imay El Gerger Sachas, or he only ate a dried fig with him, Zeus Charay, that would be enough schar for this chenveni, because again, he doesn't really have to do so much work. He was given the merchandise and all he has to do is sell it. So Tzricha, we have to have this case of the Mishnah as well to say that in both scenarios, he has to get paid like a pile of bottle, and if not, this arrangement is considered ribbis. Now the parentheses tells us, Kama Izi Vitar Negoilim Malin Simin, this simin of these four words, which literally are translated as, how much do goats and chickens gain in value, as a simin for four brises that we're going to see that have to do with this business deal that we just mentioned. Tana Rabbanan, the first brisa is, Kama Huscharay, how much does this fellow who's getting involved in this business deal have to be paid? Again, it's not the investor that we're talking about. We're referring to the managing partner, the guy who's doing all the legwork, Shimon. How much does he have to be paid? Ben Ruba Ben Mua, Divrei Meir. If Meir says, it doesn't make a difference if it's a lot or if it's a little, as long as they agree upon the amount beforehand. Whereas Rabbi Huda says, Afilu Loy Tavol Imay El Betzir. Even if all he did was dip his bread into some brine with the investor, V'loyachal Imay El Gergeres Achas, or all he did was eat a fig with him, Zeu Scharay, that's considered Schar. Even though it wasn't agreed upon beforehand that would be the Schar, that's considered Schar. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Yechai Emer, he says, Noisalay Schar Mishalim, he has to be paid full wages. So we have three different opinions. Here's our second braiso, which has to do with izim. Tan Rabbanan, we have a braiso. Ein shamin, lo yase izim, lo yase rechelim, v'lo yase kol davar she'ino yase v'oichel lemechtso. The Tanakam holds that one is not allowed to evaluate goats, sheep, or anything that doesn't produce and eat for this deal of mechtso. And that's because, again, as we've been saying all along, the managing partner, Shimon, the guy who's doing all the legwork, he's the one that's taking the goats or the sheep or whatever else is being given to him, since he's taking responsibility for half of the losses. All the work that he's doing on behalf of the investor for free is considered like ribbis. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he tells us, Shamana Se'izim, we could evaluate goats in this business deal of 50-50, because they provide milk, which the guy who's raising the goats is allowed to keep, and that's considered his wages. Vesar Chelim and sheep as well are okay, because their wool is shorn, Vishaitvais, also some wool gets washed off in the river, and the guy taking care of them gets to keep that wool, Umartais, and also some of the wool gets plucked off when it passes by thorns, and the guy taking care of them is allowed to keep that wool as well, and that's considered his wages. And Vesar Tanar Goyles, a hen is also allowed to be given to him, because it produces and it eats. It lays eggs, and those eggs are considered the profit by the guy raising them. And so therefore, B.S. Rabbi Yehuda says he is allowed to get involved in this business deal. So according to the Tanakama, the fact that the sheep can be sheared and the goats can be milked is not enough for his schar, for him doing work and for the food that he has to feed them. Why not? I think more answers, you're right. But Giza V'chalav, if we're talking about that all the shearings and all the milk belongs to the guy doing the work, Kuli Amo Pligi, no one argues. And everyone agrees that that's considered schar, and that's fine. Keep Pligi, what's a machlekes? If the only schar that he's allowed to keep is the whey, which is the liquidy part of the milk that gets separated when it's being curdled into cheese. And taisari is the little bits of wool that come off of the sheep when they go through the river or when they walk by thorns. Tanakama sarv lak Reb Shimon ben Yochai. The Tanakama holds like Reb Shimon ben Yochai, the previous braisa, Da'amaru holds, nois lein schar mishalim, that he has to be paid full wages. And since he's not getting full wages over here, he's only receiving the whey, this liquidy part of the milk or a few tufts of wool that get pulled off by thorns or get washed away in the river, that's not enough. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Sabar La Kavua, Rabbi Yehuda holds like his father, Rabbi Yehuda, of the previous Braisa, Damru holds, Afilo Tabal Ima El Abitzir. Even if all the guy did was dip his bread into some brine with the investor, Vlachel Ima El Gregaris Achas, or if all he did was eat a fig, Zeus Chorei, that's considered his wages. Onto another Braisa, which is the third one, that's Tarnu Gailam of our Simon, Tan Rabbanon, we have a Braisa, Maskeros Ishal Chaverta Tarnu Gailas Bishnei Freichen. A woman could rent a chicken to her friend for two chicklets per year. Two women, Rivka and Sarah. Rivka has a chicken. Sarah can give Rivka her eggs to raise into little hatchlings, and eventually they'll grow into bigger chickens for the price of two chickens per year. And the reason why this is okay, and this is not a problem of this business deal that we've been talking about until now, is because it's considered like a rental agreement and not a business deal where they're splitting everything 50-50. Furthermore, Isha Sha'amel Chaverta, if a woman told her friend, Tarnagalus Shali, it's my chicken, Ubeitzim Shalichi, and it's your eggs, Vaniva At Nachlik by Freichim, and we're going to split the profits 50-50. So here we have a classic case that we've been talking about until now, where the profits and losses are being split 50-50. So Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda allows this, whereas Rabbi Shimon Oyser, Rabbi Shimon doesn't. As like, well, Rabbi Yehuda Loibai Schar Amal Mizaynai, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require the person who's doing the work, raising the chickens, to be paid for their work and for the chicken feed. Why does he say this is okay? This is a classic case of ribbis. And the answer is, Ika Beitzim Muzarais, there are Beitzim Muzarais that he gets paid by. What are Beitzim Muzarais? So Manu the Hebrew, the word Muzar means strange. And that's what these eggs are. They're strange. They were put under the hen to hatch and they started developing, but then they went bad, they went sour, and they're never going to hatch into chicklets. But if you open it up, it's not going to be like a regular egg you find at the store. There's going to be some sort of embryo inside, which is kind of gross. And that's why it's called muzarais, muzar. They're strange. The official term for them is addled. And the person raising the chickens is given these eggs, and that's considered their wages. We have our last brisa now, Tan Rabbanon, Makom Shenagu L'Halos Schar Kotef L'Mois L'Behema Malin. If it's a place where a porter's fee is paid in cash for animals, so that has to be paid. What's this talking about? So we have a herdsman, Shimon. He's given young calves or colts to raise, and since they're young and they don't necessarily walk everywhere on their own, he sometimes has to act like a porter, picking them up, putting them on his shoulders, bringing them back and forth. So if it's a place, besides for the schar that Shimon gets paid, he also gets paid a porter's fee, so that has to be paid to him. And one is not allowed to change from the Minega Medina, he has to be paid this fee in all situations, according to the Tanna Kamma. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says that it really depends. If this calf was given to the herdsman along with its mother, or the colt was given to the herdsman along with its mother, so then they could do this business deal for 50-50, even though it's a place where the guy has usually paid his porter's fee in cash. Over here, he does not have to be paid, because since these baby animals are with their mothers, they end up following their mothers everywhere, and therefore the guy does not have to pick them up. And since their mothers are fully grown animals, they're oisiv eichel. The mothers produce profit, which the herdsman can use to pay all of his expenses. So therefore, the herdsman does not have to be paid anything. As Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel loy by schar malim zaynai. Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't require him to be paid at all. Sometimes his baby animals do need to be picked up and moved around by the herdsman. So Rav Shimon Gamliel say that he doesn't have to be paid. The answer is ikka glalim. There's the glalim, the dung, the refuse that the animal makes. That's allowed to be kept by this herdsman who's raising the animals, and that's considered his schar. The idich. What about Tanna Kamma? Why does he disagree with this? Why does the Tanna Kamma say the porter has to be paid in cash if that's what the Minhag Medina is, no matter what, even if the baby animal is there with its mother? The answer is glalim mafkiri mafkir luhu. That's because a standard person is mafkir the glalim of his animal, and the herdsman would keep them anyway, so it can't be considered his wages. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to talk about this business deal. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.